Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vagabond Dilemma. Today we have some juicy details about planes, Americans, and the killing of Peter Pan. So if you enjoy these kind of things, relax. Listen to our very relaxing voices, very relaxing podcast, no screaming at all. Trust me on this, and enjoy the episode.
Hello, everybody. I think we might have to redo the clap. Okay, redo the clap.
Why?
Because
why?
I what? Think I fucked it up.
No. We roll.
No,
happy.
No.
We're unhinged.
All right, we're unhinged.
Wow.
Unhinged. Is this content yet, Rudy?
Hell yeah, brother.
Hello, everybody.
Do your intro. I actually have a small talk to talk about.
So you're just going to wave me off as, oh, do your little task, you fucking...
Do your thingy. Do the thing about, but you know, the thing you do that nobody cares. Do the thing.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Vagabond Dilemma. We talk about an explorer or a special circumstance, I guess, sometimes, if you really think about it. Yeah, we really do. Yeah, it's true. And then we speculate about the resolution of it all. And then, before you know it, we're at the actual resolution, where we talk about what actually happened.
And
Rudy!
Those resolutions, they hit different, because they never seem to be what they are.
I
want to try
something,
and then... Yeah, anyways. So, a very me thing happened the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I have dreams. I have a lot of dreams. You know, when I sleep. I happen to dream a lot. Some of them are sometimes unhinged or unasked for, or I have no idea how specific things happen in my mind the way they do, right?
Right.
So it recently happened. I'm not going to say exactly the action that it took, because I think that would be too disgusting for this podcast. But so somebody who I only know by name, or rather, I interact with them like once a week in a specific student-led tutorial session that I have for one of my courses.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a friend of mine. It's rather a colleague, right? A fellow student. I just know the person because of this session. And then in one of my dreams, somehow that person did something so disgusting that since that, and it's been 2 weeks, I can't look at the real-life person the same way. So, in a nutshell, what happened is... I have a bias against a person who in reality did nothing of the sort, did nothing against or towards me, but now every time I look at them, I'm like, how dare you? How dare you do this to me?
I mean, I think it's understandable. I definitely have had that before as well.
You know what energy this gives me?
Well,
it's the girlfriend energy of like, you know what, you cheated on me in my dream.
Yes, that is the exact energy. You are right. I mean, do you care to elaborate in what type of disgusting, or?
I think for our listeners' sake, I'd rather not.
Okay, then feel free to type this into my DMs later.
I don't think you'd want to know. It's one of those things where me and you, when a certain other friend of ours makes these jokes, we both just say, shut up. Like, is that type of thing?
Okay, I feel like I do have a decent
direction. It's just basically sexual turned disgusting. Is what it is, yeah?
They made a poll in your dreams, didn't they?
Oh my god.
That was a little bit of an insider joke. Well, Rudy, anything other fun to report on?
Oh! I have actually something sweet to talk about.
Hmm?
Somebody played in my heartstrings very well recently. In a sense of, and it's gonna happen, and you know it's gonna happen, and you can't escape it. And people, listen, I've had enough shit with this. In a sense of, if you don't understand forms of art the way I do, take a fucking hike, huh? How about that? Take a hike. So the story is about an Italian.
Of course it is.
Obviously. So, I was vibing with one of my Italian friends. He's a super nice guy, very talkative, like me. We're kind of like both jumpy, energetic type of people. I was talking with him. And then, low old story of me not knowing how to properly cook comes up, right? And I guess if you say that to an Italian, they take that personally. Because how can you not cook? Like, how are you even... You might as well just, you know, go to hell right now. Because what's the reason of living if you don't know how to cook?
Okay.
And he, I guess, took it personally. So I go home after our little talk. I was vibing, and I go home. And then suddenly I receive, while I was on my walk, I never reply to messages and unless they come from some very specific people where I'm like, okay, you're on the priority list. And then I come home and I'm like, oh, I received messages from him. What are they? This sweet, sweet soul has sent me a, first of all, in Italian, because he knows I'm learning Italian, in Italian, a recipe for I think it was pasta with salmon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's somewhat, like, he made, like, he gave instructions on how to properly do this, like, in shorter terms, like, simplified whatever the recipe was. And then goes on in the message saying, I'm gonna send you a new recipe every week for you to try this. And I was like, I thought I don't care about gestures when it comes to food, but listen.
Aww. What a cute little story. Yeah. Did you make it yet?
No, I didn't have time.
You have betrayed his hopes and expectations.
I'm going to actually, I was trying to do that tomorrow because for us tomorrow in Netherlands we have a holiday.
Yeah, I did not know that.
It's something about Christ.
It always
is,
Rudy.
I mean, I respect a man who can get nailed to a cross for 3 days straight and then come back to get more. You know what I mean?
Sure. Whatever, I guess. All right. Well, I'm glad to hear you have a feel-good story for once coming out of your trash mouth.
Holy Jesus, you tramp!
You just had to give this a little bit of a negative spin to end it off with, huh?
Go on, King. Pop off.
Yeah, maybe we should get into the episode?
Oh, maybe we shouldn't, and then just the whole episode do small talk. Fuck the listeners, huh? They think we will have content.
I mean... We could.
And throw your prep out the window?
I would just reuse it next week.
Okay, go on. I'm actually hyped.
Why?
Because I know that you only bring quality content.
Well.
The uncertainty in that. Well,
I feel like you're hamming it up a little bit too much to make it so.
Oh yeah, Henry just completely promised me like the best episode that we had so far.
That's so not true. I didn't even say anything. All right, anyway.
He was playing hard to get.
You want to guess today's topic then?
Yes.
Well?
How do I guess the topic? As in like what the person is or?
Let's go for means of transportation again.
Oh, a means of transportation. I like this. Crocodile.
No.
Hot air balloon.
No.
Blip?
No. Is it,
plane.
I mean... Yay!
Oh, then it actually will be badass. Then I know who that is.
It actually isn't, Rudy.
It is?
That's right. It's subverting expectations. But rest assured...
It actually isn't? Wow. That actually does surprise me.
Whoever Rudy thinks it is will still be covered later on, but...
And let us know in the comments... If you can also guess who I thought it was.
I think... Well...
You'd be surprised how many people don't know about that person.
Also true. Did
it's
this...
my mom?
Expire 5 years ago?
Are you drinking expired tea?
It says 13... Wait, no. This is just a serial number. My bad. All right, I just noticed this and it ended with 16, so I was like, did this expire like March 2016?
That would be an unhinged episode already.
It's fine. This expires in half a year, so I'm good.
That's why I put pure poison in my veins. It can't expire.
So based. Keep that up, King. No. Today we have flight 19, the 19th flight. No, it's not. It's just a set of aircrafts called Flight 19.
But
are you familiar?
It's like one of those things that I know I have definitely heard about. It's can I unless you want to do a whole intro of this, can I guess what this is about?
You can guess. I don't have an intro. I don't even have anything prepped, Rudy. I'm improvising.
This is just a prompt. They're actually, like, basically reeling me in to be like, oh, yeah, I know this. And yeah, I just do the whole episode like this. And Henry's just giving me prompts.
I was like, yeah, Rudy, keep going. That's so right.
No, but it's about, well, I know it's very, like, obvious to say this in the terms of this episode, but, or rather this podcast, but it's mysterious missing cases, right?
In a sense, yes.
It's one of those things I feel like I have probably somewhat way, way back when read in what's it called?
Conspiracy?
Conspiracy theory websites or something like that.
Do you care to guess a wager where this is located?
Well, the first idea comes Bermuda Triangle.
Correct, Rudy. Well done.
Yeah!
And there you have it. Today is not necessarily so much about exploring, but it's still, you know, it's on topic. So I thought, hey, this is fun. I like doing an aircraft episode.
Well, it's exploring the different ways of how a person can disappear without a trace.
Truly. All right, so, Flight 19. Okay.
I'm sorry.
You want to do my episode, Rooney?
I'm sorry, it actually was there for like 5 minutes and I was like always choking it down and then it just came out now.
All right, it's a group of aircraft doing an army exercise, Flight 19. So, the incident took place at 12... Oh, fuck. Which... No, now I have to remember if I wrote this down in American dates or in European dates. Okay, it either happened on 12 September 1945 or 9 December 1945, alright? Just one of them. That's all you have to know.
Oh, one of them.
A couple months after the conclusion of World War II, so army exercise, right?
Okay.
So the flight equipment back then, it was functional, but, you know, it was still relatively early days of, like, military aircraft, I would say. I think that's fair to say, right? Yeah. So
it's still one of those days, like one of those things where a compass can show you the wrong direction if you put something metal in, like, near it or something, right?
Exactly. The compass can do a little funny to you, to put it simply. Yeah. And therefore, they need to do training exercises, of course. And it was also already back then a big part of warfare. So just, you know, just your regular old training flight, essentially. Right? And then, I will just give you the location for this. This might be easier to follow if you have a map open, but I will still try my best regardless. We're going to the tip of Florida, right?
Go on.
And three key locations, sorry, are Fort Lauderdale, which is basically a major city on the east coast, southeast coast of Florida. The Florida Keys, which is southwest of Florida. A set of islands, basically. I don't really know how to describe it. It's just a set of small islands called the Keys. And the Bahamas, of course, the island nation to the east of Florida. So, what was happening? It was supposed to be a navigation training flight, in which a group of airplanes worked together to navigate to a target, bomb it, and then subsequently return to the base. So, just run-of-the-mill exercise, right?
Yeah.
I didn't write this down, but I think this was even called Navigation Exercise 1 or something like that. So you really know it was, like, just maybe the most stereotypical, I guess, exercise.
Yeah.
Okay, so the flight leader, called Charles Carroll Taylor...
Of course it's Charles. I know Charles.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Ah, that old jokester.
Yeah, so he was an experienced pilot with over 2,500 flight hours. And the other planes were mainly consisting of newer trainee pilots, right? Makes sense.
The green stuff.
Yes, sure. Okay, Taylor had also participated in World War II in the Pacific War against Japan, so he was quite experienced, quite frankly. So, all planes, fully fueled, right? But yes. During the pre-flight check, this is where it already starts going wonky. A little wacky.
Woo!
They found out none of the planes have clocks. So, so you need it. Yeah, no clocks inside.
Isn't that like a big thing?
Well, yeah, it was also ironic considering one of the aspects of the training exercise was teaching the dead reckoning principles, which is calculating your location by means of time. And arguably, you need a clock to tell that time, so you can use that for your little training exercise.
The fucking swamp people so, of Florida.
No clocks on board. However, worry not, for it was assumed that all the pilots would just be wearing a normal watch, which would, in that case, just substitute the plane watch. Understandably, you just need something to tell the time, right? That's basically...
Tell by the sun. Go the hardcore mode. Sun don't lie.
Well, yeah, but then, no, I mean, I feel like that's also not that easy on the fly.
I mean, they're American red-blooded soldiers. They should have everything done.
Sure. this is your image of army people?
Well, I feel like America always boasts that their military is the best at doing everything, so at this point, why not ask everything of them, you know?
Sure, alright. If that's alright, that's the standard here, I guess. Okay, so where was I? Right.
Somewhere over Bermuda.
So they took off from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, right? Which is important. Like, to the later failure of this mission. This I already described this earlier, so let me skip this. They were scheduled to make a four-turn exercise, so... Really, just fly a square, essentially, right? It really is that
How
easy.
How hard can it be, huh?
No, but for real, it's literally just... The exercise was, fly a square? And they couldn't do that, unfortunately. So they started off well. They bombed one of the islands in the Bahamas, as planned.
By the way, sorry to interrupt, but is it like mock bombing, or back then they actually used actual bombs of like whatever disclosed location where they actually dropped those bombs on an island?
I'm pretty sure they actually dropped the bombs, yeah.
Fucking Americans, holy shit. Let's just choose, you see that pile over there? You see that there? Nuke it to shit!
I mean, I don't know, if it's a training exercise, it makes sense that you would actually try to, you know... Like, not saying that it's good or that it's good, necessarily, but it makes sense. I don't think it's random to actually do it. Also, I'm pretty sure that this kind of stuff still happens nowadays, so...
Goddamn.
Anyway, so, they turn, and then they get lost because their compasses stopped working, right? So they were unsure in which direction they were flying. Keep in mind, they have made one turn. At this point.
Oh, okay, wait. I'm gonna start drawing the square. So they flew out, let's just say straight out of Fort Lauderdale, right?
Yes.
And they started in which direction?
East, towards the Bahamas. Now, it did, the where I got this far from did mention specific, like, islands, but I didn't write them all down because I figured it was a bit too much.
Yeah, okay, but they made a one turn. Okay, so they're like halfway square-ish.
Yeah, I mean, let's say they got to the Bahamas and they turn upwards.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
They turn north. So, but they get confused because their compass stops working, and at this point they don't know in which direction they were flying. So they contact the ground crew to help them return to Fort Lauderdale because the compass is broke, essentially, right? So, Taylor, at this point, thinks he is in the Florida Keys, and I still don't exactly get why. But essentially, he is like, he thinks they're a lot more southwest, right, than they actually are. So, they were instructed by the ground crew to put the sun on their left side of their aircraft and fly along the coast to Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
And he was also asked to change frequencies on his transmitter so they could find him on the ground But he denied the request because he was too busy bringing the planes back, is what he said.
How hard it is to turn a knob?
You don't have to ask. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how hard any of this is. I think later he did turn it on, but in any case, that didn't help either.
Maybe he was just listening to radio at the time, and he was like, I don't want to click. It's a good song. I don't want to change frequency.
So true. So, Taylor, still believing he is in the keys, ordered the planes against the instructions of the ground crew to fly east, because if you would fly east from the keys, right, you would eventually reach regular Florida again.
Yeah.
Right? At this point, you can also see what flying east from the Bahamas would potentially do.
You kind of fly past, and then the only next thing is over Gulf of Mexico, it's Mexico.
No. East from the Bahamas.
Oh, it's, it's the Atlantic Ocean.
That's right. That's a very big ocean right there. So, he ordered them to fly east. Some students, however, said, shouldn't we just be going west? But nobody split off and everybody started going east, essentially. And later, I will say, later people theorized, or the military said, probably no plane split off west, even though they were suggesting it out of military discipline of listening to your superior. So, at this point, the weather started getting worse as they were flying east, and they were also, of course, started to run into the idea of fuel troubles eventually, because you can't keep flying forever, right, Rudy?
No.
There you go. Would you like to... Yeah, you know what? We'll continue. After a while, Taylor ordered the planes to fly west, because now he was doubting himself, I guess. So he ordered them to fly west again. Right?
Yeah.
Because if he was at the Bahamas, then flying west would bring you back to Florida.
Is this point that he's already over the Atlantic, like somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean?
Yeah, this was after they were flying east.
Okay, okay.
But after not getting to land, he once again orders them to fly east.
Huh?
I will say, I am distilling this info down a bit. There is you can read a lot more nuanced version of this online, but I'm like shortening it down a bit for the podcast.
It's a zigzag at the moment.
But essentially, he ordered them to fly west, and then was like, nah, it has to be east after all. So they go back east.
I still don't understand why he thought that east is the right decision.
I don't really get it either.
There's like nothing there.
I mean, he thought just one of the islands of the Bahamas was the Keys, and therefore thought he's in the Keys, and therefore thinks flying east brings you back to Florida. Anyway, they changed course back east after one last radio message discussing what would happen in case of fuel lacking, like so a communication within the team. They were not heard of again. And as a small follow-up to this, in response to the crisis, several training exercises were cancelled, right? Of course. And crews were helped or sent out trying to help Flight 19. And one plane went towards Flight 19, so east, but after like just a regular radio message, they also weren't heard of again. So, it's a 2-for-1.
And this is where we unravel the mysteries of the ocean.
Yes. So sorry for the information dump. Basically, this is a very information and story heavy episode in that sense.
But this is so fascinating.
Rudy, before we advance, I think we all know what's coming next, right? Right.
Found in Italian.
It's Rudy's Rocks Cockpit Edition.
Right. Yeah, got you there. Hell yeah! Got me on the first half, not gonna lie.
So, welcome to Rudy's Rocks.
Rudy's Rocks!
On today's episode, we're doing a special rock. So special that it even transformed into a plane and isn't a rock at all. Today's topic is an airplane special edition, and I will send the picture right now. So, Rudy, please just check out.
Right now.
Okay, they both work. Lovely. As a reminder, I send Rudy a picture. He describes the object to you, an airplane in this case, after which we both give it a name. And if you want to see the rock, or in this case, plane, feel free to send me a message, or Rudy, but, you know,
but
then you'd have to talk to Rudy, so that's kind of a plus-minus situation of it all.
Oh, shut up, you silly sausage. I say? This is actually quite a weird object. I mean, okay, let's start from the beginning. It's a plane. However, imagine a plane with a single propeller. Wrong. It has two propellers. Imagine a plane with a propeller at the front. Wrong. Both propellers are at the back of it. Imagine a plane with normal wings that, like, span, I guess, over the cockpit, like those old World War II planes. Wrong. This one seems very futuristic. It's more like a kite, I would say.
In a sense.
So it's a big... Okay, you know what? Actually, I'm going to describe it better. Imagine a normal, I don't know, Boeing plane, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then only imagine if the wings would be a single piece and detachable from the rest of the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this plane is. It has two propellers that are towards the back of this shabakal, and the cockpit is in the middle of this contraption.
Yes.
And it's very bright orange, like, it's an orange, you know, the fruit.
It's
that
a
kind of orange.
It's a pretty special plane. Like, you won't see this kind of thing out there ever, probably. Unless you're at very specific aircraft shows.
Yeah. And hence, I will give it the name of, how would I call this? A part.
A part?
Because it's a part of a plane that is just flying on its own. It's a part.
You're calling it a part.
Yes.
Well, Rudy, have you ever seen an aircraft so flying you would call it wing? No, I'm giving this the name Boomerang. I just wanted to...
Oh, Boomerang is also a nice one. Actually, the shape could be a boomerang.
And here's a follow-up to that. Because this is an old plane, call it Boomerang. I mean,
is it actually an old plane?
It is an old plane, yeah.
Boomer alert!
So, ring, boomer ding, ding, rang, boomer alert! It works, alright? Perfect name. So, this plane, Rudy, do you care to guess the name? The actual name?
Go ahead.
No, give it a guess. Idea.
Okay. Orangutanus.
No, it is the Northrop 9N9MB Flying Wing, but your guess was kind of close. So. A prototype airplane built. Okay, guess when, because I think this will surprise you.
1938.
Okay, you kind of ruined it. It's 1944 is when they built the first prototype. And this was further developed into... other planes, like I think the B-9 bomber.
They attach this to a normal Boeing, and then there we have the passenger planes.
I don't remember the exact plane this was developed into, but it's one of those like super futuristic looking. I think one of the like extremely fast.
It's just
planes.
One wing. It's half of this.
No, I think this was developed into like state of the art spy planes, essentially, which is really cool. You should look the image up. I forget the name and I didn't write it down, unfortunately. Stupid me. But just search the Northrop N9MB Flying Wing and then in the article, you'll see. And it was the only one of this type remaining, only prototype remaining, and then someone fucking crashed it.
Well.
At an air show.
You said it's a spy plane? Maybe that was planned.
It was crashed at an air show, and the pilot died, and the plane was destroyed. So, kind of unfortunate.
Happens to the best of us.
Well, that's the risk of an air show, I guess, right?
True.
So, Rudy, that brings us...
back to the Atlantic Ocean.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes, sir. All right. Right. Know exactly what...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Of course.
I should have a scholar degree, knowing what happens.
You should be a history major for this podcast.
So true. So true and based. But, all right, Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Look, like, if you know the map, you like geography and whatnot.
Yay,
for people who don't know, in the Bahamas, there's one island that's very famous in history for something completely different. Have you heard of Nassau?
Yes.
And what is it famous for?
For being a city?
No, it used to be the pirate capital of the Pirate Republic back in the day.
Ah.
Yeah. And here's a little history fact that you might Google, people. It is believed that this same quote-unquote Pirate Republic were the first modern sort of society who used democracy as a governing political, how would you say this, body? Because yes, the Greeks did invent it and whatnot, but you know how democracy went in, for example, I don't know, 1400s or something?
I guess.
It is believed that pirates were the first ones who actually, like, let's say, like, it is known that pirate captains sometimes were voted upon, you know, to be elected as a pirate captain.
Mm.
And they were the first ones to get such a system in since the Greeks.
Okay.
So anyhow, what I'm trying to get here at is maybe our boy, what's his name? The captain of this flight, whatever?
Taylor was the last name.
Right, Taylor. Had a genius idea. See, pirates. Life of glory. Gold, jewels. It's a man's dream, basically. You know, it's a man's playground. However, when you think about it, pirates, in their natural sense, is kind of a limited term because pirate implies your playground is, although vast, limited to water and then plundering the occasional island. So why not take it a step up? Literally. Why not make everything your playground if you travel by air?
Okay.
So, he's like, holy shit. They have these, what they now call planes, you know? And I'm gonna make sure that there's, like, no way of them, like, we're gonna stage a coup, basically, right? We're gonna steal these planes. But because of, like, clock and a compass and whatnot, they could probably pinpoint where we are. So let's just crash all the clocks right before we fly out. So that's one thing out. And the compass, I don't know, breaks something, so it's a bit wonky.
Right.
He gets in with the boys. He gets in the crew. He's like, you want to live like kings? You want to do life glory? Let's you know, take it up in there. Let's be sky pirates.
Right. Skyrim.
So off they go. The coup is successful. They go over the ocean. They're presumed dead and whatnot. But here's the kicker. When a ship attacks another ship on the sea,
mm-hmm.
to plunder it, right? There's a whole shabackle of, you know, cannon, and before this this enemy ship sinks, plunder all the gold, kill all on board and whatnot. But there's a bigger time interval on which you can do things to plunder a ship, right? However, what they didn't think of, how do you successfully board a plane mid-air moving? You know, it's kind of a... There's some intricacies that have to be thought about.
They can be tough, yeah. I understand.
Exactly. And they rather quickly found out that the window of plundering a plane, since you shoot it down, is like, you know, a half a minute once it goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And
probably quite violently, too.
Yeah. Known to happen. So that was probably the end and classic story of American pride. Guts overthinking of coming up with something that could be great and capitalistic, but letting out one key detail and going down in flames somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean. No name to you, no plunders, no valleys, no nothing. And my boy, quite literally, ain't shit.
Yeah, he literally, right?
Well, as in the terms of
just like in your dreams.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. It's just...
Oh, no.
I can't get over the satisfying idea of American pride being your own downfall.
listen, bud, we have a couple of occasional listens from America, so I beg you to proceed with caution.
Take a hike, people!
What the fuck? Don't say
goodbye,
that.
America!
Oh, no, he's killing our listenership.
I mean, listen, I love your nature and there's so much of it because you're such a big country. I would love to go. But some of the shit you do is just so... It's weird to the rest of the world. You're clowns and it's true. It's true.
All right. Let's not get too into this, huh?
I will because this is a political podcast.
What the fuck? I didn't sign on for this.
No, honestly, I couldn't care less how you kill yourselves. What I'm trying to say here is,
yes.
The maneuver of east-west from the pirate captain of the sky of 5 minutes was just a maneuver. What if somebody's on our tail? So, like, let's confuse them and whatnot.
Evasive maneuver, yeah.
Exactly. Because I'm sorry, but not even an American could be that wrong. Because I just looked up where Florida Keys is. And I have no idea how that blockhuda thought that you were over Florida Keys there.
I don't know. I do think it's really... I even when reading this story, because I did, like I said, I distilled it down. I do think it's like kind of strange. You go explicitly east. Then after that, you go north. And then now somehow you think you're in the Keys. Like...
I don't get it.
It is what it is.
It's literally, how can you think as... Florida Keys, according to the Google Maps search I put in, is, if you imagine, like, Fort Lauderdale is a bit upwards from Miami. And if you people know where Miami is, literally the tip of Florida, right, basically. And it's northwest from there is Florida Keys.
No.
So...
Southwest.
Yes. God damn, why does it always fuck me up?
You're a bit directionally challenged today, Rudy.
I am so directionally challenged. I think there was one episode where what was it about the North Pole or the South Pole? I don't remember, where I went an whole episode describing something that couldn't have happened because I was just describing the wrong pole.
It's fine. It happens to the best of us, you know.
But now I can say it because like 15 episodes ago. Some misinformation out here.
Oh my god.
But yeah. It's southwest. Anyways, point being, in any of those directions, there's no word that I said east, although they flew east, so how can you think that you're over that?
Yeah, I don't know. I do think it's strange, but I think I might have the answer to that. Because here's what's going on. He was moving house, you know. Can't live in the same place forever. Time to move to Fort Lauderdale. Yay, surely, right?
Okay.
He was just moving places. And this was a very big thing in his life, so he was like kind of preoccupied with it. And then he goes up with the training flight. They fly east, but it's just a straight line, so it's just like boring as fuck. They snooze off. He snoozes off, right? And as he's doing that, he's just thinking about he's like dreaming about the moving process, and it's like, oh, I need the keys. I need the new keys. You know, and then they suddenly, it's like, well, we have to make a turn. So he shoots away like, oh, turn. Keys. I think we're in the Florida Keys, guys. What's happening? We're in the Keys. And then, of course, the radar equipment conveniently stopped working. So it's like, we have to go east. We have to go east. And at that point, you know, the rest ensues, essentially. And this is why you should never move, is the moral of the story. Always stay in the same place. Never change.
So true. Wait. I know exactly. Oh, okay. Henry?
Mm-hmm.
Ever heard of the great children's story of Peter Pan?
No.
What?
Got him.
Okay, so you do know.
Yes, who doesn't?
For those who have forgotten your childhood, Peter Pan is a boy who always wants to stay young, flies because he has happy thoughts. And I think he chases his own shadow because it always escapes him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's things like these. But my main idea is it's a boy who flies, right? And he can, allegedly, if you really point it down, He's kind of a creature that crosses dimensions, because Neverland seems to be described as this place which is not on our world, but you can get there by flying from our world to Neverland with Peter Pan. So basically, he kidnaps children to other worlds. Oh no, that was actually Captain Hook, and Peter Pan tries to save them. But he wants them to stay in Neverland, so it's kind of confusing, so he's still a kidnapper. It's a whole psychoanalysis of a children's story. However, the point being is, imagine you're on a plane. And in reality, so far the plan's going great. You made one turn, you're going over the square, everything's fine. And then, lo and behold, turns out that, I know in the original story, Peter Pan takes Wendy out of somewhere, I think in London. But maybe to get to Neverland, you have to take some kind of trajectory to fly into the space and whatnot, over our Earth. So what happens is they're doing this military drill, they're flying in a plane, and then suddenly they're like, what the fuck is that in the distance there? And before they know, it's a boy! And before they know, they fucking rotor him to death, like completely like
mince
Peter Pan mid-flight, like
what the fuck?
And they're like, what the fuck just happened? And somebody's like, oh my god, you killed Peter Pan, you killed Peter Pan, you killed fucking Peter Pan! And the guy's like, holy shit, what to do, what to do? And so he has to think, right? So he's like, okay, go west, go east, like, give me time to think when we, like, fly back and forth. He thinks, and he's like, holy shit, everybody, every child will hate me in the world, like, I'm gonna be a murderer or whatnot. Okay, I know how to fix this. So, he arrives to the conclusion, we have to go to Neverland and explain the situation, you know? So, they go over the Atlantic Ocean-ish to fly to Neverland.
Mm-hmm.
And here's that bloke who went looking for them, right? That other plane.
Yes.
Goes looking out, sees these folks flying off into the space, and he's like, what's that, huh? What is that? He starts flying by them, like, basically tailing them, right? They all get to Neverland, but their original crew doesn't know about the one behind them, right?
Right.
And whilst they explain themselves, they're, you know, trial for murder and whatnot in Neverland, the lost children are basically thinking of what to do with them, either cannibalism or killing on death or feeding to crocodiles. And this guy's like, okay, so these blokes are war criminals right now because they killed Peter Pan. I have to get back to, like, tell this to the world. So, he starts to fly back. But, unlucky to him, from Neverland, there's another party who can travel back and forth on a fucking pirate ship, because that's the theme of this, of today, for me. And that's Captain Hook! That's Captain Hook! Yes. And if you think about it, I think in the cartoon, he has a flying pirate ship that he travels with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you actually look in the history books, this plane that was the one that went looking for them, the name of the guy who was sitting in the plane, surname was Smee. And who's the most trustable Captain Hook's right-hand pirate? That's right. Mr. Smee, Captain Hook enlisted this pirate plot, right? Because Hook was a schemer. He was like, oh, this guy knows what they did to Peter Pan, right? He knows. I could enlist him to blackmail them to just... Because Captain Hook is just evil. He just wants to kill children. I think that's the whole shtick of his.
Really?
And then... Actually, it is, yes.
A nice guy.
So, yeah, it's a whole scheme of how of Neverland gets more inhabitants and Captain Hook gets his original right-hand crewmate.
Oh, all's well, ends well, am I right?
But Peter Pan's dead.
Right. Well, unlucky.
I mean, honestly, I feel like out of all my childhood story heroes, that one was the most annoying.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he also, I think... How do you call that thing that roosters do in the morning? That call?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a verb for it, what they do. I don't remember what the verb is.
I don't remember either.
But anyways, he does that too.
What a fucking little rat.
Honestly, rotor blade is all you deserve, am I right?
What? No. I will say, I never really vibe with Peter Pan. I always thought it was, like, a weirdish story.
from my, like, one of my favorite childhood movies actually is called The Hook. It's about, I think it's Robin Williams, yes, who, the main story is about Peter Pan, but the captain, it's also a great spin on Captain Hook in that movie. And from that whole childhood story, that's my favorite character, Captain Hook. Because he's so, like, there's so much pizzazz. There's so, like, there's ego. And he's so, like, funny. And the comedic timing is so great. It's, I watched that movie just because of Captain Hook.
All right.
And then I was actually kind of sad because they recently made a remake of Pan.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't
Disney
hit.
Plus. And then, and it's, I think it's Jude Law who plays Captain Hook. But he's so, like, he's not as menacing anymore. It feels like he's a caricature of the Captain Hook that I know. You know, he's like a parody.
Okay.
It's just your average cartoon Captain Hook who always loses, who always is like, oh, God damn it, Peter Pan! You know, that kind of vibe.
Okay.
Which is, I don't know, I don't, that's not my Captain Hook.
Well, you can just remember your favorite movie and just keep it that way, right?
Yes.
Alright. Rudy, let's go to the resolution. So the planes were never recovered, right? After an investigation, it was found that Taylor mistook some islands in the Bahamas for the Keys because they looked somewhat similar. And due to that, it meant that his decision to fly east took them further out to the sea. As pretty expected, if you fly east from the Bahamas on a mission where you fly east towards the Bahamas first. Kind of logical. So, then at the point where they flew back west, they were already so far out that obviously they weren't going to reach land soon enough, right? And then, so when they didn't reach land, Taylor was convinced they were just in the Gulf of Mexico, so they had to fly back east again. So, they swapped back to east, and at which point they ran out of fuel. They also just did not follow the standard protocol of just flying west when you get lost, so.
Aye, classic.
As for the other plane, the search plane, it had a malfunction of sorts, causing the plane to just explode, which is why it just abruptly disappeared.
That's so scary! In a sense of, like, it's just a malfunction, and mid-air it exploded?
Yes, and then it was reports of, like, oil and burning in the sea in that location of the last radio message. So,
what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, flying back in the day was considerably more dangerous, I would say. So there you have it. That's it, quite frankly.
Imagine just the possibility of exploding. Like, it's the same energy as when I overthink things, and sometimes I think, imagine being on a motorcycle. And you fly on the highway with, like, this high speeds the motorcycles do, right? Which is exactly the same as normal cars do, but when you're on a motorcycle, you feel it way more.
Of course.
And then just, like, one rock misplaced on, like, the highway or something can just end your whole life.
Yeah, I mean, you're not, this is why motorcycles are extremely dangerous.
Yes.
And that's why we should all get a license, Rudy. Cheers to
Hell
that.
Hell yeah. I'm down. Let's hug a tree. At 100 miles per hour.
On it. All right, well, thank you everybody for listening. We hope you enjoyed, and if you want to contact us, please send a message to thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com. So just the name of the show @gmail.com. You can send me your message if you have my contact information. Or you can send Rudy a personal message.
Yes, and that would happen at 000, RUDYS 000, on Instagram, might I add, on Instagram. So it's 3 zeros, Rudy's 3 zeros. Leave feedback, comments, life stories, I'm great at that too. Yes?
If you happen to know, like Rudy said earlier, the explorer he was thinking about, put it in the Spotify feedback if you happen to use Spotify.
Yes, I was about to say that. We have a feedback question that you can answer under our episodes on Spotify, exclusively on Spotify. Don't sponsor that.
Yeah, that's just unfortunately the way it is. So, I mean, feel free to also just send in the answer elsewhere if you don't, but Spotify users have an easier way to do it.
Exactly. And, well, thank you for listening.
For listening.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thank you for listening.
Well, thank you for listening. I mean,
that's a good five. Listening? Hello? 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 Huh? Listening? Thank you.
Are you listening still? Are you still listening? If you're listening, send us a message.
Wait, you're still listening? You're here?
Are
oh
you
my
still
god,
listening?
Henry, I think they're still listening.
They're still listening.